coming in hot at 9:40.
Well, that's just got to shake their hands, Kenny. Got to shake their hands.
Got to shake them. Nathan Zagura coming up at 9. I'd like to shake his hand. 9 o'clock. Daryl Ryder coming on at 8 o'clock. Ken Dorsey writing checks that the Browns can't cash. You did it again yesterday. Well, you said you heard the audio. You said it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I want to make sure. Stuff. I want to make sure that I caught the same clip that you are, because somebody called him Baghdad Bob the other day, yesterday. Once he got a chance to talk to the media, and this is just what happens when you start out 0-1.
Baghdad Bob.
Yeah, remember he was.
No, I don't.
Baghdad
Bob
was the guy. You really don't remember this. The guy that came out, and every time his country was just getting destroyed in war, he came out. Nothing to see here. We're winning. You're doing a great job.
Okay. Now I remember.
Because I am searching the meme in the search right now, and it's not coming up.
I remember the meme. Okay. I remember the meme. Whew. I looked at you, and I damn near died. Yeah, I remember the meme there. That one got me. But, well, you remember last week, Ken Dorsey, there's going to be things that only a few guys can do, and he's going to be able to do it. I'm like, yeah. And he did a few things.
A few guys can take 17 hits and stay in a game.
Uh-huh. He did it.
He's right.
He did it. Deshaun Watson did it. But he was talking yesterday, Ken Dorsey did, and he says, well, he thinks the offense is going to do better this week.
We're going to go out and we're going to prepare our tails off this week. Everybody's focused on Jacksonville. Everybody's focused on this next step to move forward. We still have 16 games to go left in the season, and all we can do is control what we control.
I think that's...
That wasn't that bad.
That's logical.
That wasn't that bad.
For an OC, especially after the way they got off to a start. I did ask you, any
I got to tell you, though, can I plant a seed real quick?
Sure.
Before you say what you say? I got to pay attention to this run game here, because the run game was the big conversation that was going on in Buffalo. I brought this up in the opening segment. I have to plant this seed for everybody. Like, it can't all be on Deshaun Watson. Now, a lot of it can be because he's the quarterback of the football team and he's the one getting paid the most money. So whatever you want to say about, you guys aren't being fair to Deshaun. Yeah, I'm being very fair to Deshaun. He's the quarterback of the football team and he's the one making the most money. So that is unfair is fair to a quarterback. However, if you're looking for other reasons, because it is the ultimate team sport, well, I got to put him in a good position here. So I can go back to last week and go, man, he wasn't ready. He had played no football, no actual football before. All right, but as time goes on, are we finding ways to run the football here? Because Buffalo has found ways to run the football since Ken Dorsey's gone. Are we finding ways to get our offensive line out there moving so we can take pressure off the quarterback? Are we finding ways to scheme around no David Njoku? Because my whole thought is conserve the offense, bring the offense closer to the line of scrimmage, get David Njoku involved. Well, I don't have David Njoku now, so Jordan Akins is going to have to be there, or Jeff Swaim, or whoever the hell it's going to be. So now I have to be able to figure that out. So there's going to be other things that, am I going to put him in a better position? And I can sit there and I can say Ken Dorsey's name all I want. Kevin Stefanski is the one calling the plays. And I know you and I are fans of Kevin Stefanski, but he will have to be under a microscope as time goes on, because you got to get this thing going now. Because it's week two, and Jim Schwartz can make up any stat he wants to, but you gotta get the 1-1, man. It does feel a lot. The must-win stuff, it does feel a lot like that. It does feel a lot like that. Well, you better get it going.
And I was just going to ask you, do you feel like there's any added pressure? It's pressure on everybody to win in that building, obviously. But like for someone like Ken Dorsey, who's up there yesterday, think of how it ended in Buffalo. Even though statistically they were still one of the more efficient offenses in the NFL when they fired him, but it had kind of deteriorated in the weeks right before. I mean, I think they had lost 3 of 4. Mm-hmm. Then he gets fired. Now he comes to the Browns. They're going to overhaul the offense. He's not going to call the plays in that offense, but he's going to implement that offense that is something they thought would foster a better Deshaun Watson. And then they come out in week one, and it was just abysmal. They get behind the chains. It's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15. You mentioned a running game. You know, it's other ways. We talk all the time now, the buzzwords in recent years, not just the run game, it's the extension of the running game, right? It's different ways even to pass the ball that can be considered, oh, that's like a run play. That might as well be a run play. And they are low-risk type plays. It's not just heaving the ball down the field. So all those things is what I'm looking for against Jacksonville, to soften up that pass rush, because you saw what a diabolical, effective pass rush can do against any team, even ours. I mean, that was tough. That was really, really tough for the offense.
216-474-0092. I don't want to ask, well, how are we feeling about this game coming up? But I got to ask, you know, do we need to tone things down here getting ready for 1 week? Because I don't know if anybody out there has been worked up over this offseason and getting ready for this season. Remember, last week, we were taking it on the chin from some people. Well, why aren't you giving me the pep rally that I wanted? Well, we tried to do that on Friday, and just a lot of people weren't buying it. A lot of people weren't getting it. And then they went out and laid that egg they did against Denver, against Dallas. And I think a lot of people are like, I thought this was going to happen. I thought this was going to go down this way. And I think that's why a lot of people were quiet. Well, I still got 16 games left to play in this season, and I still have a talented football team, so they got to go in some direction and try to pull out a win in this game. If I'm looking how this game's going to go, I need to try to manage Deshaun Watson. I don't care about how much they're paying him in this case. I got to manage the guy, and I have to make sure that he's comfortable and confident as best I possibly can. That's as a coach. That's as his teammates. Got to do it. Have to do it. And then I got to play good defense against Trevor Lawrence, who had trouble last year against the Browns. Now he was playing hurt, and he was playing in bad weather, but he had three picks against the Browns. Browns ended up winning that football game with the help of those three interceptions. It ended up closer than what it really should have been, but I mean, I felt the Browns had the game in hand because of those picks that they had caused. This is a defense that plays really well. They have not been able to get themselves a lot of turnovers. And last week they turned it over twice. It puts them behind the eight ball. It makes things very difficult on this defense. So my thought is, hey, can we get a little bit more conservative? Can we run the football? Can we take up a little bit more time, keep our defense off the field as best we can, get Deshaun Watson in any sort of rhythm that we possibly can, because it can't be all where he just can't play the position anymore. Find a way to get him involved doing that. And then defensively, can I get after Trevor Lawrence again? Can I do what I did?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to pick him off three times. But can I pick them off at all? Can I give us the ball at the 30-yard line and give us at least three easy points and see if we can punch the ball in for six?
So
can I do something like that against this guy?
Here's what I wonder. Focusing on the offense here for a second, do you think there is a big adjustment from week one to week two, or do you think the Browns stick with the similar game plan in week one and just try to execute way better?
I think that they try to do this again. As much as I said what I would do, I think they're going to try to do the same game plan again.
Yeah, obviously.
And I don't think they're going to completely abandon the run again. I felt they had to try to get themselves back in the football game, because you said it.
They had 10 penalties offensively.
Was it 27-10, you said? And you felt like they were getting, they like this was their shot to get back
Dallas,
in?
Dallas kicked a field goal.
Yes.
That if they missed the field goal, I think it was, I'll look back. But if
you're talking about the field goal at the end of the first half?
There was one in the third quarter, I thought. And if they missed that field goal, we have the ball near midfield, and you're only down a couple of scores. It's a totally different game. You got a field position win there. You flip the field. Well, they convert the field goal.
Okay.
And then what do? We get the ball, another penalty. You're getting off schedule.
Uh-huh.
And that's the killer. I mean, 10 of your 11 penalties were on offense, and how many of them were illegal procedures, illegal formations, illegal man down the field?
That's the type of game we're playing here. Because a lot of us, we watch at home, we have a couple of drinks, we go, oh, this game is out of control. This is ridiculous. They're trying to get themselves back in. So, as Tom Brady said it, even though Tom Brady did mixed reviews, Tom Brady said it's going to become a pass-a-thon. And he was right, because they're trying to pass them their way back into the football game, because what you're hoping is there's going to be soft coverage, you're going to be able to go down there and score, and then you make another stop, get the ball back, and then we're really cooking with something here. But because of what had happened, it extended the type of possessions that you have, so now you're playing against the clock, and you're playing against a defense, so now you have to throw. I don't think they're going to throw as much as they did in the game on Sunday. But I'm still clearly concerned about the run game, because the averages weren't very good either. I mean, Deshaun Watson ran for 40 yards. If it weren't for Deshaun Watson's 40 yards, I mean, you have two running backs that were averaging under 4 yards a carry. What was it, 3.7? I mean, that's not moving the football very much at all. So you got to get the ball going on the ground. Either Pierre Strong, Jerome Ford. I can't just sit here and keep waiting for Nick Chubb. you got to get a run game going at some point. And it has to happen on Sunday. You got to be able to run the football to protect Deshaun Watson and to just give him a breather. Give him a breather and make him confident. And if that's running out of RPO, even though the RPO is dying and you're doing draws, then you got to do what you got to do to be able to hand the damn ball off to the guy and be able to run the football with some
affection. What did they do RPO-wise in the opener? Because remember, we were told that was going to be a huge,
huge. There were handoffs. There were a couple times he kept it and tried to throw. There were a couple times he kept it and took off. There was a couple times of all of it. I mean, they did it a few times. And I know that it's... I don't think I remember seeing it as much as I have in the past, but you know, this is a fuzzy memory now because that was five days ago. But it's still there, and it's probably still more prevalent than what you see with other football teams. Because to make him comfortable, maybe I still have to go back to the past. And these are the things that Ken Dorsey is taxed
with. And the absolute killer for this week, and I know they're saying it's week to week, Njoku.
Mm-hmm.
Not having him as that safety valve, as that the screenplay. Who runs a better screenplay, you know, for the Browns than David Njoku?
You can already see it happening, yep.
And those are the plays they were able to set up, and they were able to set up early game to get defenders thinking one thing and then show them something different later in the game, and that Njoku play always seemed to work.
You want to talk Jed Wills with him?
What's he doing this week?
Well, you look great saying that. He was limited yesterday. That means he participated in some of practice.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah. Jed Wills, anybody? No? Okay, moving on. All right, the latest with Deshaun Watson here. So yesterday afternoon, Tony Busby, he was a-talking, said that his client, Jane Doe, is going to meet with the NFL. Apparently, there are two possible witnesses here. And there's also a video. I don't know what the video is. I have no idea what it actually pertains. God, I don't know if I even want to.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the expansive definition of video these days. I mean, a video could be, my God, we remember the Ray Rice video and what happened with that. It could also be scrolling texts. A video of a bunch of text messages.
I don't know what the video is.
They just said video. That can encapsulate a lot of different things.
I don't know what that is. Albert Breer was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. Because when people are talking about this, you know, I have to face this situation head on. There's been a couple of things out there that I've honestly tried to avoid. Some arguments in this that I just don't think factor. I don't think carry any water into this that some fans have tried to use. But I have to face this head on here, is that there are people who look at this as a way out of the contract. Under paragraph 42, we've all learned about paragraph 42 over the last couple of days and what that entails as far as his personal services contract and everything like that and what he can't do, personal conduct. And some people see this as an out. However, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, says not so fast.
I think the way out would be if this was something he didn't disclose. And it would have to be something they had no knowledge of and that he hid from them. And even then, it's hard. I know I've heard all the conspiracy theories and everything else about the Browns, you know, all that stuff that you see on Twitter that's dumb. I would say, you know, if I was a Browns fan, I wouldn't count on them getting out of the contract on this one. Now, would they be thinking about this sort of thing hard if he has another bad year, if the contract was a conventional contract and he was out of his guaranteed money? Sure. The uniqueness of this contract and what's so unique about the contract versus other ones is how deep into the deal it's guaranteed. And this is actually, you know, we're getting closer to the part of the contract where you, if he doesn't play well, pay the price for that.
See, that's more likely. That is the more likely thing, because you're getting into a weird text there. And I'm not trying to take Albert out of context of what he was saying. And you can hear that entire interview, 92.3thefan.com. Albert is talking about it, but it did sound, when we play the clip, it almost sounds like, well, wait a minute, are they going to wait until he plays really, really badly for a longer period of time, and then they're going to go ahead and use this against him to try to get out of the contract? Is that a way to do something like that? That seems a little bit unseemly, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like a little bit off to you? Of course, the NFL is going to take their time with this. They're scheduled to meet with Tony Busby and his clients sometime over the next couple of weeks. Well, there's a game against Jacksonville coming up on Sunday. He's starting in that game. And then there's a game coming up against the Giants the next Sunday after that. I imagine he's starting in that game as well. He's starting against Daniel Jones. So there is the football conversation of this, of what you would do. But this whole conversation of how he plays, you know, sticking to this, I cannot yet say what's going to happen or what the NFL is going to find with this. This all seems like we're going right back to 2022. It is something I told you about a couple months ago. If he goes out there and he doesn't play well, we could be looking at a Russell Wilson situation by the end of this year. Because he's not going to blame himself. The people around him aren't going to blame him. They're going to look at what the Browns did. They're going to look at why can't he play the way he used to be able to play. And in one game, which I can only take one game away, when he's searching for answers the way he's searching for answers, it seems that he may feel he's not getting the type of support on the field that he believes he should be getting. Whether you think that's true or not, I don't care. That's what it looks like. Because great athletes, and he is a great athlete, they're not going to blame themselves. They're not going to do it. So this is going to be something that if he doesn't play well, we've only scratched the surface of the ugliness of what's going to happen here.
Well, you saw it at a home game. I mean, he got booed again. And he's been booed in how many of his home games so far throughout his career? So the fans are certainly not really on his side. I know there are contingents of the fan base, like in every fan base, that are going to support a guy, that are always going to believe in a guy. But I've even seen a lot of those people jump off the bandwagon this week. I mean, have you noticed that? There have been some people that I have seen in the past, have stood by him, have said second half Baltimore, and even they're like, poof, how much more can we take of this? And then add on another accusation, well, one that the NFL's investigating.
I know that he's the quarterback for the Browns, so even I'm going, all right, like, I don't think that he is ever coming back to 2020. That doesn't mean I'm going to give up on him if he's the quarterback for the Browns. I can't do it. They literally can't afford to do it this year. They can't afford to do it in the future, but they might have to do it. I have to find ways to fix this. What concerns me most is what Greg Cosell said on Ross Tucker's show, because Greg Cosell, God bless him, like, we did this with Johnny, we did this with other quarterbacks, he does not care about what guys do off the field. I mean, I'm sure he has a personality and cares about certain things, but he does not care when he watches film. What he sees is what he sees, and what Greg Cosell sees isn't that great. Hit it.
Right now, he's just not a very good player at all. He's not seeing it. He gets stuck in the pocket. The ball's not coming out. He's a difficult watch right now. You know, they said he's going to start this week. They're in a very interesting situation because they have a really good defense. They've got good skill players, although I know Njoku's going to be out for a little bit, I guess, with an ankle injury. But they've got good skill players. Nick Chubb's coming back week five. He's a top three runner in the league. They've got a good O-line. And the other thing is they've got a backup quarterback who's had success in this league. You know, it's Jameis Winston. If this continues, they're going to have a decision to make, because right now Deshaun Watson is not playing quarterback at an NFL starting level.
That's Greg Cosell on Ross Tucker's podcast. I mean, that is about as stark as it gets. Like what Mary Kay said yesterday, like, I saw some positives. I go, I'm sorry, but I don't know what game we were watching together here. I did not see very many positives.
I'll tell you what I think that is. I think that, and you know what, we're clinging to anything, like the pass to Judy. There was a pass to Njoku. He did get leveled on that throw down the field that was incomplete. That was a great throw to Amari Cooper, where he kind of stretched out to get it and just couldn't come up with it. But the issue is, that's every quarterback in the league can do that. I mean, every quarterback in the league, Gardner Minshew, have that kind of
that's
a highlight reel.
I think he could complete the passes. My issue, and Greg kind of mentions this, bailing out. Look, the massive overthrows, getting too gassed up on somebody he sees that's open. I'm hoping some of that, yes, is just the lack of experience over the last how many months of not being able to play football because of the shoulder injury. I hope some of that is back.
Well, the worry,
I hope that you can get some of that. I don't think the processing is necessarily terrible. I think that he is nervous back there and needs to get it figured out and get more comfortable. So that's why I've said all week, they have to work with each other here. He has to trust them. They have to trust him. If they never trust each other, it's going to just get worse. This is just going to get worse, because he's going to start doing this stuff against teams that I can't say, well, they were 12-5 and they're a playoff team and they got really good players over there. No, he'll start to do this against teams that you really have no excuse for. You don't want that.
Yeah, and I think the worry for me is when Ken Dorsey last week is talking about the things that he can do that are special. And, you know, obviously Deshaun still thinks he's elite, understandably. I mean, he's not going to say he stinks. Like, I get that part of it, too. We talked about that yesterday. Those passes he made Well, the good stuff from Sunday against the Cowboys, that's every quarterback in the league has some good. Even the putrid ones have some good. The whole point of Deshaun Watson is for him to do some things that no one else can do and to give you a higher ceiling. Obviously, the stuff we saw on Sunday, there was no ceiling to that. There was nothing that made you think that the Browns have an advantage at quarterback.
The ceiling was a crawl space.
Yeah.
That was the ceiling.
My hope, obviously, is that was just a week one thing and a timing thing, a hasn't taken live reps thing. And I do think that still is a possibility. I think, unfortunately, this is a defensive front that you wouldn't exactly, you know, dream of to go up against to get his confidence back. That's the issue to me. That offensive line is going to have to be so much better. And, of course, Deshaun is going to have to be so much better.
216-474-0092. I'll say this before we go to the phones. It's also going to be, I think he can play better. I think he will play better. How much better is going to be the question? And the other question of it is, will he fall back into the pitfalls of distrust? Because what I saw on Sunday, it's based on trust. Trust in yourself, trust in your teammates, trust in your coaches, and vice versa. Vaughn and Parma, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Vaughn.
Hey, what's going on? What's up, Ken? What's up, Lyman?
Hi, Vaughn. We're doing okay. Go ahead.
The thing that bothers me, I'm a church artist, so I listen to the show every morning.
Thank you.
And I listen to Mary Kay, and she bring up, you guys welcome. You guys make my day faster by listening to you guys, so I love you guys for that.
Thank you.
But I listened to Mary Kay yesterday. She brought up a good point where she said how the Browns organization is behind Deshaun. They're not making any changes. And you would think, and I'm sitting here thinking about it, like if a team was behind you 1,000%, you would think that would make Deshaun Watson play better. You would think that would, like the way he played, he don't play with enthusiasm. And I know, I'm not trying to bring up a Baker Mayfield. I'm not a Baker bro.
You're fine.
I'm just saying,
the
one thing I can give him, because I'm not trying to get sweet chant music. I'm not a Baker bro. But the one thing I can say about Baker, he did play with enthusiasm and he could take a hit. But he played with excitement. When you look at Deshaun Watson, he don't play with excitement. You know what I mean? And then I was at the game, and I swear to God, I was sitting in row section 130, and they was booing them. It was really bad. That's for one. And for two, you guys didn't talk about it a lot. I'm shocked you guys did on the station. But Amari Cooper was irritated. Like Amari Cooper.
Oh, we brought it up. We brought that up. We brought
that
up. Yeah.
I must miss that one.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's a 4-hour show. I mean, you listen when you can listen. Yeah. But that's been brought up a couple times, him shaking his head. And there's been conversation. Was he frustrated with himself because he had a bad drop on Sunday? Or was he frustrated with the way that things were going during that game? Or was he frustrated with the quarterback?
It was 1,000% with Deshaun. You could just tell, and I know it's still early, but you could tell he plays better with Flacco. I mean, it's obvious. Washington got to get it together, and I'm sure them other teams, from a lot of Falcons and other teams who didn't get to sign them, I'm sure they probably throwing a parade right now. And I'm gonna bring up one more point, and I'm gonna let you guys go. They said it on Ultimate Cleveland Show. That was a great point they brought up about if Deshaun Watson gets suspended, I think his career is over. I honestly think that.
Well, no, if he gets suspended, Vaughn, and thank you very much for the call.
Well, what if it's a two-gamer? What if it's a four-gamer? Boy, that is the weirdest thing that...
Because then you have to check the language of what you can do and what you can't do.
And then what... I mean, if...
That's about as bad as it would be.
I don't think this is going to happen, but, you know, what if it was the rest of the year, like next week? Then is this an accrued year? I don't think it is. So it's like, what's the deal with another year on the... You know, it's... I don't even want to think about that. I mean, no. To be honest, I don't want to get bogged down. I know it's a Friday and we're getting ready for a football game this week, but it's just the stuff that gets invited, you know, at our doorstep because of what a terrible week this was, again, news-wise.
And you remember, you must remember, like when they say, well, they have to support him. Of course they have to support him. And some people can be as upset as possible with that. And I would understand in certain cases why. But you have to support him publicly because the second you bail out, it's almost the same thing as Kevin Stefanski. If you were to put Jameis Winston in, when we had that conversation the other day, if you were to put Winston in this game on Sunday, say you lose that game, that's it. You've cooked him. You've cooked any sort of confidence is gone. Well, if the organization comes out and says we don't stand by him or anything like that, or they say to him that we don't stand by you on anything there, well, then that's already going to affect it. What you saw on Sunday was not a confident quarterback. That, I think, is exactly what he's battling right now. And if he's battling his own issues with confidence here, you are not going to help those issues at all by bailing out on that. Now, if the NFL comes out and they say, hey, this is what we have found, we believe that there is something here where we have to suspend him, then you can go ahead and go about your procedure. You can go ahead and do that. But until that day comes, and it might happen in 2 weeks, it may never happen. Until that day comes, you have to be publicly with him. You have to. Because your business is, as crass as this might seem to some people, is winning football games right now.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Kenny, a couple days ago, inflicted all sorts of lifetime psychological trauma to my two-year-old daughter.
Good, that's what we want.
All because of Halloween. So I had to get her out of the house, get her away from my wife. My wife needed a break. You ever sense that? You're like, I gotta help here. Gotta step in.
Yeah, when she cusses at me and says to take the kids somewhere. So I'm not even making a cheap joke. That's how it goes.
So I took young Izzy for a bunch of errands, and the Halloween stuff is inescapable. It's everywhere, which is awesome. She likes different costumes, a lot of princess stuff, a lot of Frozen stuff. She's all in on all of it. Well, a lot of the Halloween stuff is a bunch of princess and makeup and all sorts of costumes, yeah. Stuff that she would absolutely love. The problem is, I made the mistake of taking her to the spirit store. And yes, they have the princess one aisle.
Is it in front?
You know what? That was. Should have just left.
What's before that?
But I got really excited to show her some other things.
Oh, my God.
And then what ensued was blood, guts, dismembered hands. She will not stop talking about the fingers. Two fingers. There was one skeleton that was disgusting. I mean, I was a little scared. I think I had nightmares.
This is the one that pops out at you?
Well, that's the thing. You walk around, and they've got all of those. And, of course, they're not just 3 feet tall, 5 feet tall. They go up to the roof. They're like 15, 20 yeah. feet tall.
You're getting bigger.
And they are robots.
Yes.
And
yes.
They talk to you. And I think they're using AI. And they're designed to just scare little kids is what I'm sure of. So
I love it.
Immediately
I love it.
She's home. Want to go home. Said it 100 times. Like, Izzy, they're not real. Of course, why would I think so? I'm so inexperienced. I'm so embarrassed for how dumb I am. So we leave. And I'm like, oh, I kind of reinforce fun, fake. That's fake.
No.
You're princess. Mm-mm. So then we go to another store just to go get some groceries. Front and center, skeleton with blood oozing down. This is the groceries. It's a store with mostly groceries. Now, if you think that's done, I'm like, all right, I've got to get.
How's your daughter?
She's two. So she's already been crying for the last 10 minutes. So I'm like, all right.
I know you did Taco Bello for one. Did you do seance for the second birthday?
I'm a little worried. So one last stop. Running errands. I'm like, well, where am I safe? I need to get some supplies for home for some stuff. We're going to be repainting and filling in holes. I'll get some spackle.
You went to the big box store?
So I went to the big box store. Well, that was even worse than the prior two. Do you know what they have out in front?
What?
At those stores? They have the 50-foot skeletons with the blood and the guts.
Yeah.
And the dismembered bodies, and they talk to you. There's no escaping this. They are in every store now.
That's good.
I could have gone to Bath and Body Works. There would have been a horrific show.
So she lives in a hellscape.
Smelled great, though.
So what, you saying you shouldn't take her to Spirit Halloween? I don't think you should take her to Spirit Halloween.
It's not only
that.
Where
can take her anywhere?
Where can I take her? Everywhere has their Halloween stuff.
Okay. First off, I mean, Home Depot and things like that, like some of it you can't. Like, Home Depot stuff is not that scary.
Kenny, that stuff used to be tucked away. Wait a second. That stuff used to be tucked away. It no longer is because it sold so well.
Because it's $400 and people like me buy it.
Getting bought.
Yes, I understand that.
I look at my neighborhood. I'm like, where do you guys store this stuff the rest of the year? I look at your garages. It's not big enough.
Oh,
where the hell?
I put Jack Skellington back in a box and then he's underneath the stairs. The people under the stairs.
That's even scarier.
Under the stairs. Yes, he's under the stairs, locked away in a closet. And I'm not allowed to bring him out till October 1st, which will probably be an FML coming up next week at some point because I'm very upset about that. However, you got to take Izzy out. I don't know how she's just going to not see it. You can't just shield our eyes for the next month and a half.
And like the month prior, because of some of the shows that come up on YouTube.
Oh, you got to see this thing from Spirit.
There has been a ton of ghosts, no ghosts. Ghosts, no ghosts. And we're like, no, no, friendly ghosts. Friendly ghosts.
No,
the ghosts
are not.
Friendly.
They're not. They're
Casper is friendly. But then you put on Casper, and it's him battling mean ghosts. So she has got it in her head that everything's a ghost. And now, furthermore,
go the whole way.
She won't stop talking about that mangled hand. She wants it. Two fingers.
Adam's family has thing. That'll make her laugh. Thing's a nice hand.
I think she'll be terrorized by that.
There's Thing, there's Cousin It. Look at the thing I just sent you guys. There's a 6-foot Wanda Webworth animatronic that pops out at you.
Oh,
it's just a
friendly.
Giant 6-foot skeleton. It was this thing at the Spirit Halloween you went to?
Hold on, let me pull it
up. Or a giant
up.
6-foot spider.
Oh my God, thank God, no.
This thing is
thank
awesome.
Thank God I did not see this.
This thing is awesome. Oh my God. Your poor daughter.
And because obviously these things are way more, I say realistic. None of it's realistic, but it has more properties of being mm-hmm. realistic than any of the stuff they could have come up with, you know, 10 years
like
ago.
Like, you realize that two-year-olds still, they see a toy car and your car that you drive as the same thing.
Same thing. You're right.
They're the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the kitchen set downstairs. That's it's real.
Today is Friday the 13th, of all things. There is a 6-foot Night Terror animatronic. This is only $99. This is nice. Now I kind of want you to buy these things, even though you're definitely not allowed to buy them. I don't know what to tell you, man. I wish I could help you out on this and tell you not to take your places, but they're all selling things because
they buy them.
Because you're right. Yeah. You can go to Michael's or Hobby Lobby, and it's going to have that stuff. That's like the nicest, friendliest, crafty place, and it's going to have stuff.
A reaction on X brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, from Sean. Says, hell tone, while you're at it, take her to Hot Topic or Spencer's. Probably want to top it off with a nice evening meal at Lido Lounge.
What's the matter with Hot Topic? What's the matter with Spencer's? Spencer's fun. James in Cleveland, hello.
Hello?
Hi.
What's going on?
Nothing much. Hey, go ahead.
Can go back to Home Depot. They got Christmas stuff out.
Well, that'll be fun for her. I mean, that's nice. James, thank you for the call.
Unless somehow she sees a Halloween exhibit with Santa Claus being scary.
You've ruined Christmas.
Mm-hmm. My thing is to try to desensitize and drive the whole way through. I'm like, no, you can't do that because, like Jonah, I tried to make him. He wouldn't go trick or treating. He has not gone trick or treating. He's terrified.
I'm worried, Ken, that I ruined that.
We had this big gathering of people, so his parents are dressed up in different things. All the people that are familiar to him are dressed up in different things. Jonah's horrified. He's horrified. He will not go trick-or-treating with us. He says this year he's going to go trick-or-treating. I'm like, all right, fat chance. We'll see. It can be traumatizing for a long time. Not traumatizing. It can be scary for a long time. So I'm like, put on The Exorcist. That's not going to fix her wagon. She's just going to be afraid. That's all there is to it. Sorry. I wish I could help you. I can't.
It's just so stupid that I'm thinking about it from my point of view, not a two-year-old's point of view, and it's been a long time since I've been 2 years old, so I had no idea, and I didn't ask my wife, and of course, before Izzy went to bed the other night, she kept mentioning ghosts, she kept mentioning the hand, and we thought she was going to be up all night. Thank God she got through the night, but I mean, you just know this is going to come back to haunt me continuously.
Show her Children of the Corn. Maybe she'll own it by then.